Blog Talk Radio.
To Care to Read. You've got your only anchor seven in the house, the one you need, the advisor, and the advocate you want. Thank you for joining us.
Every day, from the moment I in my
Yes, our faith is strong, and it is in our ancestral song. It is important for us to know we draw our faith from our ancestors. Without it, we cannot go on. It is the song told of why we came, because our ancestors exist. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you once again to another segment of our Nearsight Training, our third lesson in Nearsight Training. We started on the topic of where religion originated from, and we will continue on that topic and complete that topic today for you. I'd like to give you a little insight and overview of what has been covered so far in our initiation training. In our initiation training, periodically, we will be consulting with the Spirit. We will be reading the Yoruba language and doing the prayer in Yoruba with a translation in English. And as you bear with me as I use the enunciation of the Yoruba tongue, please be patient with me as I do not speak the language on a regular basis. I am still a novice at understanding spiritual things. Nevertheless, as I begin to make my effort to try and practice, I will become better and better, more better and better, as Spike Lee would say. Once again, just an overview of what we've covered in Nearsight Training. As you know, we initiated two young men in this classroom, and those two young men transition into the rites of passage. There's many more trainings that they must have. We took them through the first segment in order to give them their Eleke beads, and we are teaching them now the method in which they will pray. We're teaching them the morning prayer. Today we'll be discussing what is in the morning prayer as we begin to teach on the nationalism of religion, where it came from, some questions that have been posed about our religion, about Judeo-Christian religion, Islam, Christianity. Where did it all come from? And for Africans, is it significant for us to take up other denominations and religions without examining our own African religion? So far we've covered information on explaining to you about Ori. For those of you who have just joined us and are not familiar with the terms, we've discussed Ori. You must get this concept, ladies and gentlemen, and grasp it as quickly as you can. Ori is not a god. It is a God assigned to you, your personal Godhead that's in your head. We will cover those things, but I want to stop now because I know the Spirit is asking for me to remember, before I stand on holy ground, I must prepare myself and ritual and getting myself prepared to become purified, and I'm going to ask the brother to come and purify me, but I'm first going to ask my elder, do I have permission to speak? I may be totally out of order without permission to speak. Elder, do I have permission to speak?
Yes, by all means, you have permission to speak.
Thank you so much, Elder. Now I'm going to go over to the brother to see if Brother Jamel can begin to purify me. Can you purify me, Brother Jamel?
Yes, I will. Hello? Yes. Purification has begun.
Thank you so very much. And ladies and gentlemen, we are about to start the ceremony. Before I can do anything, I must pour water to the ground. The ground has to be sanctioned, and it has to be purified that I stand on. So as the ancestors will come in and sit and prepare a ritual with us to speak, the ground has to be purified. So we throw water to the east. We throw water to the west. We throw water to the south. We throw water to the north. And as we prepare this water to go on all four cardinal directions, the ground has now been purified. It is fit for our ancestors, and we invite the ancestors in at this time. We invite them in because we are now standing on holy ground. When this ritual is done, remember that the ground must be purified just as the person that is doing the prayer must be purified, because we must make sure that the ancestors can come and be a part of our ritual. We invite you in, ancestors. I like to call my heroes and sheroes at this moment. And as you know, we get a list of our heroes and sheroes. You can mix the names up. You can call anyone that is deceased that may have been one of your heroes. You can call any person in that group of heroes who made a difference in our civilization. You can call on them. Then you must call on, before you call on any deities, you must call on three people. And let me make sure I teach you well. You must call on Ilede, which is a godhead as well. You must call on Olurum, which is a godhead. Then you must call on Oladulamare, which is the African god of the maker and creator of the universe. Now, we have a whole segment to teach you on the three trinities, but now is not the appropriate time to go into all three of those. Just know that I must pay homage to them first. I pay homage to Oladulamare. I pay homage to Ilede. I pay homage to Olurum. And then I will pay homage to my Godhead, Ori. Ori is the one that I will give homage to. Ori is the one that I would give credit to, because Ori can go all the way with me. And as you know, I did a sermon on who Ori was. And after all of the deities failed at following the young man all the way, it was Ori who went all of the way. Ori is the one that you should give homage to if you have good success, if your children are born healthy, if you have prosperity. Ori is the one that you should give homage to. I give homage to Ori. Then you call on your traditional ancestors and then your personal family ancestors. I like to call the name of Louis Armstrong, and I say, Ashe. I like to call the name of Langston Hughes, Ashe. I like to call the name of Harriet Tubman, Ashe. George Washington Carver, Ashe. I like to call Coretta Scott King, Ashe. Dr. Martin Luther King, Ashe. Madam C.J. Walker, Ashe. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Ashe. Malcolm X, Ashe. Scott Joplin, Ashe. I'd like to call Thurgood Marshall, Ashe. W.E.B. Du Bois, Ashe. And Zora Neale Hurston, Ashe. So let it be done, so let it be. And as you know, the Ashe is an affirmation confirming that all agrees. Now I'd like to call on my personal ancestors. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where you can participate in this ritual. Get your family's names, the ones who have transpired, of course, not the living. It is up to the living to stay in touch with the dead. And write their names out. Put them on your altar along with 7 or 9 glasses of water, which have been dedicated to your Ori, to your mother spirit, your father spirit, and to your Orishas. You will learn more about the Orishas and how to set up your shrine. If you do not have a shrine, I urge you to think about considering having a shrine. It is very important in the households of all African Americans. It marks a stage in your life that allows you to never be separated from your loved ones. You can always touch bases with them on a day-to-day basis. You can always call their names in remembrance of them. And that is what we're about to do now. This is customary. We are not worshiping dead people. We are communing. And as we commune, we teach you the proper way. Europeans, you've always known to acknowledge your ancestors. And thank you for setting a good example of reminding us how important it is for us to acknowledge our own ancestors. Now, as I call out my mother's and father's name, you can do the same for your loved ones. I call the name of Robert Chinkins, and I will say, Ashe. I call the name of Clara Mae Chinkins, Ashe. Tommy, Pete Hardy, Shay, Marvin Jenkins, Shay, Robert Jr. Jenkins, Shay. I call Eugene Lilly, Shay. I call Essie Lee Pope, Shay. I call Mary Lou Hawkins, Shay. I call Isa Lilly, Shay. Initial Lilly, Shay. Aunt Bessie Lilly, Shay. Uncle George Lilly, Shay. Sam Lilly, Shay. I call Michelle Harvey, Shay. Michael Harvey, Shay. I called all those loved ones that may not be here today, but be currently on their way. And if they're in the wombs, I'm yet born, and are traveling down the birth canal, the streams of the body, to get here in the form of a newborn babe. As you know, our ancestors can never die. They're brought back to us in the form of a newborn baby. If I miss any name, and if they're in route, I'd like to acknowledge those ancestors, ladies and gentlemen, the unborn yet still live. I like to say, Ashe, so be it, so let it be done. Now, I'd like to offer you a morning prayer that I'd like for the neophytes to listen to very closely, and we'll recite the family black pledge as well, and our flag, so that these are rituals that you want to include in your lifestyle, ladies and gentlemen. And every morning that the neophyte gets up, he never greets his ancestors, he never greets his Ori or his God with a stale face. He must wash his face, cleansing his face and hands, and then proceed with the morning prayer. And this is one example of a morning prayer, people, that we can use as an example to greet Oromala. This is a morning prayer for Oromala. Oromala is one of the Trinity of the Godhead. And the morning prayer will read like this. Morning prayer to Oromala. Oromala, Ojibore, I offer you morning greetings. In the name of Odu, just as you wake up every morning to offer greetings to Oladulamare, the creator and the father of all existence, I thank you for bringing me to the beginning of another day, for guarding me through my sleep, to see this morning and to look forward to the choices of another day. I thank you most especially for not allowing me to offer my fellow men throughout yesterday, through not allowing me to offend my fellow men throughout yesterday, because you have ordained that to serve God according to the divine laws, your children should be able to tell you every morning that they have succeeded in existing and temptation to do any wrong against Oladulamare, the 200 divinations, all the children of God, and the society in which they live. Furthermore, in accordance with your adjunction, I have refrained from avenging all wrong done to me by my relatives, friends, or foes, and help me also to neutralize all evil plans against me, just as you will neutralize any evil that I might be tempted to plan against my fellow men. Because as you have proclaimed, that is the universal secret of long life. Long life have I satisfied you, and enduring prosperity. Protect me today, as always, from all danger. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to speak on something that was said. Protection, protection, ladies and gentlemen. Say that out loud, protection. The Africans believe that you are to carry protection because everywhere you go, evil may beset you. And let me say, once you ask for protection, you protect yourself and your guide, head, or your teacher, prepares a special bag for you to carry for protection so that no evil will beset you. And I mean those people that may have foes against you. And I'm just going to make it plain, just like I am speaking, proclaiming, and teaching here today, I am not so stupid to believe there is one that would like to bring harm to me for what I'm saying. But I want to say here again today, don't make the mistake of crossing Omi, the ancestral child who is rightly guided and protected by her ancestors. Those foes that would cause me to stumble or put foes and ditches before me, don't be surprised if those people fall in them holes themselves. Because ancestral children are protected. I am an intercessor, a caller to prayer. That is why I know I was called to teach you how to pray, how to be into worship. And this is what the initiation training is about, how to worship. Nothing more than how to worship. How harmless, how innocent, but yet there's foes that would like to cut me down, that would like to take my lights out. It is not going to happen, not in this lifetime, because the ancestors have protected me with the water that surrounds me. Why do you think I pour the waters to all four cardinal corners of the earth so that every ancestor that exists there will put me on holy ground? Two things cannot happen. Light and darkness cannot exist at the same time unless one is canceled out. So when you do your prayers, know that you're protected, know that you're guarded, and know that whatever foe would come against you, they cannot penetrate. They cannot penetrate. And I tell you this so that you will be ready to pray. Be the call, when the caller calls us in the courtyard to pray, said, let's pray. Now, Omi has been commissioned to call many women to pray. To call for the holy woman is what I have been commissioned to do, which I will be obedient in answering that call. Do you know what it means to have 100 women at your beck and call to pray? Do you know the Bible said, call for the holy women. They're the ones that can get a prayer through. Now, if I can pray and chase 1,000, what do you think if I had 500 with me, how many we can pray and chase? One thing I do know, when you have the power of prayer, you're powerful. And I also learned from the scriptures that if a man or woman knows the scripture, they have power. And it doesn't necessarily mean the King James Version. It means the laws of attraction. It means the laws of alchemy. If they know the laws, they can get a connection, an ether connection, to reconnect to their higher self, their Godhead. Now that you know that Owe is our protective God, then act like you know. Start calling on your Owe, because your Owe is the one that will go all the way with you and get a prayer through. I'd like to tell you a little bit about Owe so you'll know exactly who you're dealing with. Don't make the mistake of thinking Owe has no power. Owe is a God. Owe is your personal God. That's why they always tell you that God can never leave you. No, your God, Owe, can never leave you. I don't know about that other God out there in the atmosphere somewhere in a sweet by and by, but I'm talking about Owe, O-R-I. This is the God that I've been trained to know, your personal Godhead. However, Oludulamare, Olurum, Elene are the creators of the earth. They had no affairs with men. When they created the earth, they guard the outer courts of heaven, the inner courts of heaven, and the rim of earth. However, your personal affairs are only girded up and attended to by your Ori. The Ori, the holy guardian spirit of everyone. That is, at birth, the physical head comes out first, while the rest of the body follows. Fourth increases its similarity to Ori, the inner head. which is also the first creation and the sole determinant of man's destiny on earth. For this reason, the physical head is treated with much respect and propriety, like Ori in Hindu. It's a spiritual counterpart, with the results that are the former offered the service as a medium for communication with the latter. The following phrase, names of Ori, that demonstrates how the attributes of the physical head are used to highlight the image of the spiritual Ori. This is for the Ori, the actual student, that he would pray. Ori, and this is a prayer that you would do to your Ori. Ori Onisa Adise, Ori Apre, Ori Kana, Ori Baba Okun, Okun Ori, Ori Ababalo, Ori, Ori Baba Kun, Ori Otunde, Ori Opere, Ori Owa, Ori Owa, Mapede Olorori, Ori Akun. Now, in translation of this prayer, it means, Ori cause and creator, Ori a prey, who makes bean cakes hot, but never sells them to the market. Ori great companion, who never deserts one. Ori, the master of all. It is the Ori we should praise. The rest of the body comes to naught when Ori is missing from the body. What remains is useless. What remains is incapable of carrying any load. It is the Ori which bears the load. Ori, I pray you, do not desert me, Ori. You, the Lord of all things, Ori. Ofun Bite, Ori. That is the English translation of what they're saying about Ori. Be mindful of who Ori is. Now, I'd like to read you another Yoruba prayer. Ade Ofun Ori Kunsoso, Ade Ofun Kori Kunsese, Tewun Leise, Alumala, Ede Elede, Tewun Le Li Tao Rum, Ashe, Ogumba, Nita, Wun Akuba. And in translation, it says, it was divine for only one Ori, and also for 401 heavenly divinities, who were going to Oromala, the creator and the chief, to attempt to split the kola nut, and the direction to make a sacrifice for 100 divinities defined the order. Only Ori complied, and his sacrifice was accepted. What was Ori's sacrifice? There were up to two that were required, and to pay the homage to the Supreme Creator. All Orishas overslept. Only Ori woke up and rolled himself on the ground in homage to Oromala. In other words, only Ori was able to go all the way. All of the others' deities overslept. It is Ori, ladies and gentlemen, that will go all the way with you. He, Ori, is the one that can carry the burden. The body is given to naught. So give praise and homage to your Ori. When you get up, give praise to your Heavenly Father, Oludulumare, Olede, Oludulumare, Ilede, Olurum, and then Ori. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to read our family pledge, and as you know that we are to bring rituals to our family and our household, so I'm going to read the pledge as well as the flag allegiance. The Black Family Pledge Because we have forgotten our ancestors, our children no longer give us honor. Because we have lost the path our ancestors cleared kneeling and perilous underground. Our children cannot hear us crying because we have abandoned our wisdom of mothering and fathering. Our befuddled children give birth to children they neither want nor understand. Because we have forgotten how to love the adversity within our gates and hold up the mirror of the world shouting, regard the loneliest. Therefore, we pledge to ourselves today, to one another, to embrace one loneliest, to keep company with our loneliest, to educate our illiterate, to feed our starving, to clothe our ragged, to do all good things, knowing that we are more than keepers of our brothers and sisters. We are, in fact, our brothers and sisters. In honor of those who toil and employ God with golden tongues and gratitude to the same God who brought us out of the hopeless desolation, we make this pledge on this day. Pledge those words to your children, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you teach them how to do a pledge to the family. In honor of our flag, we pledge the allegiance of the flag. Here is to our flag of mine, the red, black, and green. Hopes in its future bright, Africa has seen. Here's to the red of it. Great nations shall know of it in time to come. Red, black shall flow of it. Historians shall write of it, great flag of mine. Here's to the black of it, 400 million back of it. Whose destiny depend on it? The red, black, and green of it, old flag of mine. Here's to the green of it, young man shall dream of it. Face shot and shelled of it, maiden shall sing of it, waving so high. Here's to the whole of it, colors broad and pole of it. Please is my soul with it, regardless of what is told of it. Now thanks to God for giving it, great flag of mine. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for going along with us on this journey. And as I begin to bring in the lesson for the Nephite today, those are the rituals that are done, and you can do these rituals right in your home. And for those of you who would like to call in and be a part of our lesson today, those call numbers are 646-478-0270. And you have your own Mianka 7 in the house, your advisor, the one you need, and the advocate you certainly want. So come into the classroom. We're now ready to start the discussion on where religion originated, and we're going to try to pick up where we left off, and I may do a couple of Orisha prayers. I want to do that one Orisha prayer, and that Orisha prayer is Orisha Ture Lete. Orisha Ture Lete. Orisha Ture Lete. Olerum, Orisha Ture Lete, Olerum. Orisha Ture, Orisha Arere, Orisha Ogun, Orisha Okode, Orisha Okole, Orisha Ile Ife Moje, Orisha Tewe, Olokun Orisha, Orisha Elete Odun, Mojuba. Oh, Mojuba, oh, Mojuba, oh, Mojuba, oh, Iba Ashe, Iba Ashe, Iba Ashe, Iba Orum, Iba Orum, Iba Otunowa, Iba, Iba, Iba Ashe, Iba Jaba, Iba Jaba, Iba Jaba, oh, Iba Jaba, oh, Iba Ashe, Iba Ashe, Iba Otunowa, Iba Okun. Mojo Obo, Mojo Obo, Mojo Obo, Iba Ashe, Iba Ashe. Ewa Okuno, Ewa Okuno Mojuba, Ewa Okuno Mojuba, Ewa Ilede, Ora, Owa Urum, Owa, Ewa Urum, Owa Mojuba, Mojuba, Ewa Urum, Iba Ashe. This prayer translates, prayers and praises. Spirit that comes from the beginning of this world, Spirit that comes from the east, Spirit that comes from the west, Spirit that comes from the north, Spirit that comes from the south, Spirit that comes from the celestial world, Spirit that comes from the planet Earth, Spirit that comes from the holy city, Ile Ise, Spirit that comes from the pro, from the ocean, Spirit that comes from the rivers. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. Ipa Ashe, Ipa Ashe, I praise you. How much comes to pass? 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 Homage to the 400 spirits on the right side, Lord of Light. Homage to the 200 spirits on the left side, Lord of Light. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. Homage comes to pass. Homage comes to pass. Homage comes to pass. The Holy Diviner, Deba Ashe. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. Homage comes to pass. Homage comes to pass. Homage comes to pass. Diviner on the right side, I praise you. Diviner on the left side, I praise you. Diviner on the east, I praise you. Diviner on the west, I praise you. Diviner on the north, I praise you. Diviner on the south, I praise you. Mojuba, Mojuba Ashe, Iba Oluwum, Iba Ojaba, Iba Okoda, Iba Aseda, Iba Ara, Iba. Inspire me, my diviner of the sacred forest. Inspire me, my assistant. Inspire me, Akoda. Inspire me, Asede. Inspire me, Areba, who resides at the Ifa. Inspire me, my father, Iba Yeye, Iba Baba. Inspire me, father, Iba Baba, inspire me, mother, Iba Yeye, inspire me, ancestors, Iba Sede, and all who I have not named, I invoke you also, and please don't forget me. Now, as I go on with the discussion and talking about where religion originated from, we did talk a little bit about understanding where religion derives from. I'd like to repeat some of that. The Holy Spiritual Community of the Blessed Oromola, which has been written by Chief Metahochi Zanu, who was my teacher. These are neophytes training that I will be bringing to you. And he writes, all, now this is not according to Omi. This is according to Chief Metahochi. So if anyone takes offense, I offer a disclaimer. These are the tools that were used to train me. All religion rises out of the deification of someone's nationalism, he writes. Understand this and you will discern the key to our victory. I hold strongly, he says, to the views that emancipation of any nation is not complete as long as a nation is still in religious bondage, political, economic, emancipation while away from meaningless and unrealistic as long as the spirit of the nation is continued. To be influenced by the religious concept and the religious teaching and practices of another nation. And he goes on to write, in what way does a religion rise out of the nationalism of the people? And in what way is Islam the deification of Arabic nationalism? Now, there was a question he had posed, and I asked the listening audience if they would like to call in with a solution for the questions. I'm only going to pose them, and if I see fit, I might even challenge the answers to those questions. But I'm leaving that for the listening audience. Firstly, he says, Islamic teaching that the language of the ultimate healthy Allah is Arabic. Now, I'm going to just break it down instead of reading word for word. And what he was trying to point out is that Africans were embracing Arabic teachings, and they were turning their head towards Mecca and praying to a god and paying allegiance to someone who was supporting their beliefs in another custom, another tradition, and another country. And being non-prepared to look towards Africa, their homeland, to guard and pray for their own motherland. So in essence, he was saying that the deification of somebody else's belief, that if a person could offer you their belief system and you would sanction it by offering praise and worshiping, you're strengthening that country and not your own. And I certainly concur with the author on that, because we truly have to pay homage to our own decrees and our own origins of religion. He goes on to say that Christianity's, he asked a question yesterday in his writing about what has Christianity offered Christians that they didn't already know about, and what newfound information do they have? And he also asked, who was the prophet for the African Americans? And was Jesus the prophet for the African Americans? Now, one thing I didn't have a chance to say yesterday and I wanted to say is that Africans must understand that they're first Africans, and that we too, as Africans, had a prophet, which most of us will never know about or have never heard of. And Oludu Lamare indicated, who was a Godhead, that Olorun was a prophet. He was there at the inception of man. He was at the right hand. He knows the destiny of man. Who is the African-American prophet? It is never talked about. African-American religion has been demonized to the point where they will not even categorize it in the same category with other denominations, which has to be changed, ladies and gentlemen. Europeans, here's where you can step in and help us out. If you know your history and know that there's many books written on Ifa, Icon, Vodun, and has been printed and written, but yet you don't see them in a category of a religion, here's where you can help us out when you say you really want to help. You might question your own counterpart and ask them, why has African religion been held out to be pagan, fetish, and high down the conqueror, and whatever else they want to call it? And why has it not been designated as a legitimate religion? And who is the prophet to the African faith in Ifa? Ask those questions of your overseers, of your priests, and your ministers. Ask them. It will help us to better understand what exactly is going on here. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but not all the people all the time. There is a discrepancy, and partiality has been shown when it comes to religion. And as a matter of fact, they've almost wiped all African religion off the map in most continents, except for a few. Haiti being one of them, who held on to their traditional religion and practices, were the ones that were hit the hardest and have suffered the most for holding on to their religion. What I'd like to say is that all religion has been born out of the deification of somebody's nationalism to uphold some belief. And nevertheless, I'm sure that African religion would be the same. But to wipe it out and not to ever give African Americans a chance to understand where their traditions came from or their heritage, it would be almost unheard of. It would sound as if somebody was hiding something, and it would make African Americans more eager to find out more about who they are and their religion. We weren't always Christians, and for you to tell us that we were European and that that was an exception of where we came about in our Christian life, it would be a misnomer, because no one on this earth knows when the exception of the black man was. They can't tell you a time when we weren't here. So in our minds, we were always here. So there had to be something that preceded Christianity, because there was only 20% Christians who willingly became Christians. The remaining portion of those were beaten into submission. That is documented. Not according to Omi. You can back me up on that, and I can have the books back me up, because they substantiate it, and it's written by various many authors. And it's not something that that's not something that an African wrote down, but it was written, and it is documented. So my question would be, what is this fear all about? For Africans to discover their religion, why has it been so hidden and protect it. And why has it been taken off the map? But yet you see it show up in the hands of many people, some scholars, some Caucasians, some European professors. They are studying the religion thoroughly, and they're practicing it. Yes, that's right. You can go online and find some of the highest-ranking people practicing Ifa religion, yet it has been hurled out to be demonized. What is the problem here, ladies and gentlemen? How can something be hurled out to be demonized? On the other hand, people are asking for divinations, and they're asking for divining and a destiny reading. So somebody has to be practicing it. In order to give those readings, somebody has to keep that lifeline going. Now, it is a religion that helps individuals to become very powerful in prayer and also giving a guidance, a destination for their lives, for their loved ones, and also to address problems. A reading is a divination that will help explore how to define your problem, find solutions to your problems through reading the divination. Now, there's 400 plus 1 on the right-hand side and 200 plus 1 on the left-hand, meaning there's good and evil that exist at one time. And in doing these readings, you're asking for the evil to let you off the hook. And you have to satisfy and make a sacrifice for the evil to satisfy him. And this is what Baba laws, priests and priestesses are able to do. Not common lay people. It is reserved for the priests to have this kind of knowledge and training. Our training was very vast. It was in depth. You would not find a commoner having access to kola nuts or to the kauri shells to do an OV or to do a divination. But so many have been so interested in the divination that they have gravitated towards the divination and just getting the readings, not having any understanding of why an OB is done. Why must you satisfy the evil on the left-hand side, and what is the purpose of a sacrifice? Those things are very high and sophisticated training, and not one that a neophyte would be doing at this point. A neophyte has to develop a life of prayer, and every fourth day, the neophyte must pray, and all over Africa, where they're still practicing Ifa, they're all praying on that same fourth day. And every 90th day, they're praying. And these prayers that you heard me read, most of them are doing these prayers. They're customary prayers that have been written in their native tongue. That is why it's important for these neophytes to learn these prayers. As I teach them to put on their leke beads, which have been, they have been consecrated, they're not to be touched by anyone, they're to be wrapped up in a cloth and put away. Those beads are used for when you pray. Now, as you do your morning prayer, you must bow to your knees. You must clean your face, first of all, bow to your knees, pay homage to your Godhead, which is Oludulamare, Ilede, Olurum, and your Ori, and then you begin the prayers. It is important that prayers are done consistently in the morning and at night. Now, this is a life of prayer, ladies and gentlemen, and there's something called Iwa Pelu, good character, good conduct. You cannot call yourself an Iwa in the priesthood training and live a life that is disgraceful. Let me also say that it is important for these Iwas to acknowledge, to let people know that they're in training and that they are gaining this knowledge so that they can use it to better themselves. You do not want to make the mistake of gaining access to the divinations to use these tools to do harm to others. There are deities that will see to it that you are punished and that there are repercussions and consequences if you use any of these tools for white magic or black magic to hurt someone. They are not intended for that purpose. You will learn the art and skill of using herbs and healing. You will learn the art and skills of helping those who are sick, financially depressed, helping those who are mentally depressed. So these skills that you will learn are not something that you And there, the EWA training never stops. You're always in a student mode learning. But you can become a self-appointed priest or priestess through your journey. If you go on a journey through your experiences that you have in a journey, this experience will help you to matriculate to a higher level of a priest. Now, let me also say that it's very, very important for you to take some time to learn Yoruba language, to try to understand it, practice it on a regular basis. It is very important. Now, in understanding that Christians have a very, very difficult time, they're living in two worlds, as a matter of fact, in the American world and the African world. You must pay equal time to both customs. And I don't care that you say you're an American. If you're an African, you must learn African traditions. African traditions is a way of life. You need to incorporate them in your household, the way of life and how you prepare your meals, how you cook, how you train your children. It is a customary thing that Africans only do. And not to say that other customs cannot borrow our traditions and rituals, but we must practice them ourselves. And we must be the teachers of our tradition. Being the oldest people on the universe, setting the example for civilizing other cultures, we've got to take the lead, and we've got to lead the way again to show others that we were the first to institutionalize the socialization of the family. And I'm speaking to you from the family perspective, where each child in the family has a responsibility. Africans always believe that the child was at the center. The child is not put there for the benefit of the father or the mother. The father is not the most important thing in the family, in the African tradition. Maybe in the European, the father is the supreme being and everyone else has insignificant. In the African tradition, it is not done that way. The child is the center and has the most value. And around everything in life, the family must make their decisions around the child. Therefore, you don't abuse the child. You don't titillate the child. You don't sexually arouse the child. And you don't physically or mentally abuse the child. Vice versa for the woman. In the African tradition, an African woman is the highest thing next to her priest. She's equal to him, not two steps behind him, not one step to the right, but equal. In duality, Africans do all things in duality. If there's a priest, there's a priestess. If there's a god, there's a goddess. As you notice in Egypt, there are simultaneously, you might find the woman standing aside the statue of her god, but she is never in the back. There is duality in the African teachings. Now, in the family structure is what we have to get back to. We've gotten so far away from the family structure, we've forgotten the purpose of children. Therefore, you find all of these titillations, sexual abuses, and they're saying we haven't done anything, that this is what we've customarily done. It is not so, my friend. In the African tradition, homosexuality does not exist. It is not something that they're perpetuating. Now I see priests talking about the homosexuality's position in the priesthood. In the teaching we've had, there was never any teaching that the homosexuality was an option within the priesthood. In the family structure, the family structure always remained there. There was never any one person raising a child. It was a concept of a mother, father, son. You can find that in Heru, Horus, and Aset, the Trinity. Now, for the benefit of what is going on in our churches now, everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. And don't think that it's strange that everything that can be tested will be tested, even the priests and the churches. When we've gotten so far away from our tradition that we now uphold traditions that are not ours and allow things to happen to our children, and allow women to be mistreated as if they're second-class citizens. The Bible itself, if you would check over in the Bible, it says, men, do not bother to get on your knees and ask God for anything if you have mistreated your wife. only can back you up on that, and the scriptures will back me up on that. It's there. So therefore, you don't mistreat a woman for the sake of having a hierarchy structure, having the woman as being someone that's stepped on, mutilated, and if there's excessive amount of women that are born, you put them on the side of the road and leave them. That is not a customary thing that's done within Africa. It's never heard of. There's always value of every member of the family, of the human race. The child will always be protected. No one can take a child in the African race and do what they want with them. Therefore, I'm wondering, how did these awful things happen in a church where a child could be taken off by yourself with some other adult without the other adult knowing and be titillated, sexually aroused, and stimulated to this point? That does not happen in the African tradition. And Africans, I implore you, if you don't know your history, go back and read it. Family structure has to be reinvented in your lives, and it has to be taught and taught in the church, because the church has to get back to where the roots are of Africa. Once getting back to the roots, there's no such thing of taking a child and mutilating a child in the family structure. The child is protected. Now, I want to teach you family structure so you'll know better and you can do better. As a neophyte, know that you're the strongest substance in the family. Know that walls will be torn down. The earth will come apart for the child, because that child must survive. It is the offspring. It is a seed that must grow on, and it must advance itself. And I'm going to implore you, parents, mothers, and fathers, get up and get your African materials and books and get to studying. Know about your traditions and heritage in the family structure. Don't go on with this nonsense and telling people that it's okay to live any kind of life, anything, because it's not. It's not a part of our heritage. It will never be. I don't care how hard you force and want to accept what the general public is. Yes, you might be part American, but you're part African too. And the question here today is only to be or not to be African. I love you, and I implore you to get back to yourself and to love yourself and to know yourself and to understand your heritage and your purpose. If you need divinations to learn why you came, your mission and your purpose, you can find it today. You have to know yourself and where you came from. Don't be lost. It is it's inevitable with all the knowledge available for you to be lost today. Africans, it's no reason why you don't know your traditions and heritage. They're available to you, and they're accessible. So Europeans, you too can benefit from the teaching of the tradition of the family. Now, find those books. Incorporate them into your family. I have one book I'd like to incorporate for you today. If you haven't read anything else, read Oladule Mare, The God and the Yoruba Belief. It's a foundation for you. It will help you. And you can begin to find Ibn Bola, the author of this book, can help incorporate your family structure. Do it quickly, as soon as you can. Join me now.
Let's go tonight.
very much for going all the way with me and lending me your airways. I like to give you your universe back. I give you your world back to you, ladies and gentlemen. You've been a great listening audience. And don't forget, the family is the most important thing, ladies and gentlemen, with the child being at the center. Don't be alarmed about what's going on in churches. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken and tested, and that's what is happening. It is being tested and shaken. We're going to have to get back to our old traditions and who we are. African-American preachers, ministers, apostles, all of you, I'm one of the members of the cloth as well. I'm ashamed of what has become of our church. I'm appalled at what is happening to our church. We have to be examined, and if we are found wanting, we have to be chastened. So don't be afraid that you think because your money is going to put you at a certain level. That's not going to happen. God has to first touch you and change you. And I know the Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. But God is going to shake everything that can be shaken. And the Bible said that everything that can be shaken, every foundation, will be tested. And it said, try the spirit to see if it be of God. And we know the spirit of God is not to violate youth and children in their prime age. We know that's not what the scriptures say. And we are praying for all those who have had problems with this area. There is help available. Ministers can get help. Evangelists can get help. All those that need to repent and find the help. But we do not need to be discussing something like this in this day and time where we at once pointed to the Catholic churches and thought that it was only there. Now we're finding that it's in all churches all around us. Don't be surprised if some of the people will come out to protect ministers who are involved in this in lieu of children. Children must be protected, ladies and gentlemen. And I say that again, children must be protected, not fully grown men, because they know what they're doing, but children must be protected. It is up to us to make sure we set precedence, African-American family. We must teach on these subjects and bring them out. I don't care who is raveled by it, because when we bring them out, we set precedence of what is permitted in our communities, in our African community, and what is accepted. Church is about to die out, ladies and gentlemen. Every man will let a book spring up out of them about the direction that he should carry his life. You can sit by your bedside and let your innermost witness of Jesus Christ come in and teach you. You don't need to be sent on a wayward chase by any man, because to be in Christ means you're holy at all times. And if you should deviate from that, you are not in Christ. So there is some work that has to be done in our community. We're going to have to talk about these issues and address them. And we're going to have to make sure that this tradition not fall in our family and in our customs. It is not a part of our tradition, our custom. And if you find that you think that this is where it comes from, go back and do your history and your reading and find out this was not a customary thing that happened in the old church in the olden days. You wouldn't find somebody bringing a minister out to talk about these things. It would not be something that would be tolerated in that time and even now. So something is going to have to be done different. I don't care if you have to have church at home. If it will protect your family, you might have to have church at home. But preachers, ministers, evangelists, don't you think that I wouldn't say anything on this and keep my mouth closed and say, just look over it, because we can't look over it. We are going to have to address things that will make up a better church. Churches started out in the woods and the wilderness. And when people went to do business with God, they were serious. They were infiltrating with all sorts of other things. They were crying loud and getting slaves through slavery and going through the underground to connect with their white brothers and sisters to free our people. There's some real work that needs to be done, not funneling children. There's real work that needs to be done. And it's out on the highways and byways, not just marching, but getting out front to make a difference in this new system. Now that we have a black president, there's no excuse for we can't get out front and start talking about the real issue to get some help. But why, how can we come out front when we're still cleaning up ourselves? Get yourselves cleaned up. Do whatever it takes. Get some psychological help. Get some help wherever it may be, but get help, because it will not be tolerated in the lives of children who we love so dearly. We will hold on to our children, because our children are the future, and they will survive in the end time. Know this, ministers. When you teach about God, make sure you teach the family structure and teach it right. It didn't say Dick by himself with Bill. It said Jane and Dick, a family structure with children arriving out of that relationship. We get this thing right, ladies and gentlemen. Our children are watching us, and they're praying that we teach them the right way so that they won't go on perpetuating lies and innuendos. Help them. You can do it today, preachers. I'm begging and I'm pulling for you to make the right decision. And if you are one of those people that need help, come out of your closets, ask for help. Help is available today. And you can receive it. Just like you give out help and assistance, you can receive it as well. Now, I pray for you. I pray that you need that help, that you're one of the ones. You come out and let us help you. And I thank you, ladies and gentlemen. African family, we must begin to start incorporating traditions back in the church again. Real African tradition about the family structure. That's what I'm about. I'm not calling anybody out, but I want to know, I want you to know that family structure has to be put back into everything. And if I prosper, you prosper. Let's prosper together. We can do it. And I say to you, Baba Booey to you, y'all, oh devil, and I'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same place at 6 o'clock. Meet us here. Have a great day.